It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome to episode 43 of Taylor Talk, everybody. This is Adam,
Belle,
Maya,
and Diane.
And Haley.
Yay!
I'm back! Hi, guys.
Haley's here!
After a brief sabbatical, Haley has returned to the panel.
And I'm terribly sorry. Work has been kicking my boot. You know, retail.
Boot? What are you, Canadian all of a sudden?
Yes.
All right.
Retail and Christmas are not fun.
So Haley, since in honor of you returning, I've got a joke.
Oh, God.
Wait, this one was submitted. It was emailed in by Emily. This isn't even my joke.
Okay, Emily. We'll I'll do it just because of you.
All right. So, this is a science joke. A particle is looking very sad. So another particle walks up to it and asks, "What's the matter?" Get it? Matter.
Ha ha. Oh. Good Lord.
Oh, Emily.
I thought it was funny when she sent that.
Adam, your gauge of the funniness of jokes is not good.
Well, it's funny, and it's going to help someone with their science lesson later, I'm sure. Right?
Thank you for the support.
I mean, I didn't really think it was, hilariously funny, but it's that's cute.
Right? That reminds me of The Lion King, though. What's the motto? Nothing. What's the motto with you?
Adam still thinks that's funny.
I love Lion King. So, something I wanted to question everybody about, because I don't get it at all in the slightest, is this past week for Taylor's birthday, why did everybody on Twitter change their names to Taylor Swift? Does anyone get that?
No.
No, I was confused.
I don't know why that happened.
Maya?
What?
If anyone has the answer to that, let us know. Yeah. I'm so confused by that. I don't get it.
It was really confusing me, because I would look at my timeline, and Taylor would have said all these things, and I'm like, wait, that's not her, and it was throwing me for a loop.
Yeah.
It was very confusing.
Oh, well. I guess it's one of the mysteries we'll never know.
You might know it. Somebody else.
There was a girl on my timeline who people 100% thought was Taylor.
Oh my gosh.
They really thought it was her. It was kind of scary.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it gave me a headache, so I logged off.
So we have some calendar stuff.
Do we, Belle?
We do.
What's coming up on Taylor's calendar? Let us know.
On December 31st, Taylor is going to be on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest.
Awesome.
That should be interesting.
Fun.
Taylor is going to be at the People's Choice Awards on January 9th because she has three nominations: Favorite Female Artist, Favorite Country Artist, and Favorite Song for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. The voting is closed, so I hope you all actually participated and voted.
Sure did. I have a bone to pick with the People's Choice Awards people, though. They had favorite music fan base, or whatever they called it. They had the Beliebers, the Katy Perry, Katy Cats. They had the Directioners. They basically had everybody except for Swifties.
That's not
fair. I noticed that, and that kind of made me, scratch my head a little. I was like, why are Swifties not included? We're a very active and supportive fan base.
That was not okay with me.
I was sad facing a little.
And sorry, Belle, I interrupted your calendar. I just had a rant.
You did interrupt. You're an interruptee.
Interrupter? You're the interruptee because you're the one that got interrupted.
Adamus interruptus. Yes.
Okay, then.
On January 13th, the Golden Globes are going to air on NBC. Taylor Swift and the Civil Wars are nominated for original song for Safe and Sound from The Hunger Games. Oh my gosh, I love that video and song. Also nominated for original song are Keith Urban, John Bon Jovi, Adele, and Claude Michael Schoenberg. And he wrote a song for Les Mis. And you can view a complete list of the Golden Globe nominations on goldenglobes.org. Remember, .org, not .com.
Cool. Thanks for that, Belle. And for the news, Haley's going to give it to us, and she's been missing for a while.
I know.
We want to give her a chance to speak.
So on Thursday, it was Taylor's birthday. She turned 23. Oh. And she released the music video for I Knew You Were Trouble, which coincidentally is her 23rd music video. So check out the videos as well as her interview with Sway Calloway on our episode guide. And I was really excited when I found this out. Tim McGraw has released the track listing for his upcoming album, Two Lanes of Freedom. Taylor and Keith Urban are doing a collaboration with him. It's called Highway Don't Care, and it is the 13th spot on his album. And woo-hoo. Yeah, and that is
very fitting.
That is coming out on February 5th, and a press release described the collaboration as breezy yet complex track.
Wow. That was nice of him to put Taylor's collaboration as track 13.
I know, right?
Yeah, it was very thoughtful.
I like it.
Who would have thought back in the days when Taylor was like an opening act, she'd be on Tim McGraw's album a couple years
later?
She's
probably freaking out.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let's carry on to our first mini segment before we get into our main discussion. You know your Swiftie when and if Swifties rule the world. First one comes from at SwiftAgency13 on Twitter, who says, "You know you're Swiftie when this happens. Hey, what did you get on the last test? Me? 22 out of 22. What about you? I don't know. I don't know about you, but I got a 22.
That was very cool.
Love it.
That's really cute.
That's adorable. Our next submission comes from Emily via email. You know you're a Swiftie when you prance around the halls of your school having a silent dance party, and when people ask you what you're doing, you say, screaming, "We are never ever getting back together," in your head.
That takes guts to do that.
Heck yeah.
That actually sounds to me like a commercial. Like, it would make a good commercial watching someone, like, dance around the halls at school to no music at all.
What are you doing? I'm dancing to "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together." I don't hear it. It's in my head.
Okay, our next one is from HauntedSwiftie13 on Twitter, and they said, "If Swifties rule the world, the 13th of December would be a worldwide holiday known as Swiftmas, and we would all give songs as gifts."
Aww.
Cute.
This one comes from Exhale Yeah Swift, and they say, "You know you're..."
You said a bad word.
I just read it.
No, she didn't. Adam, stop that.
It's not my fault. I
Adam is annoying
made to
us.
Do this.
Diane, keep going. Adam's being a poop.
I'm just kidding. Okay. They say, "You know you're a Swiftie when literally everyone in school asks you if Harry and Taylor are truly dating."
This actually happens to me. People have been like coming up to me and asking me about this. And I'm like, why? I don't know.
Well, obviously we're experts.
Obviously.
I think the fact of the matter is nobody knows except for Taylor.
Yeah, exactly.
And Harry. We don't know.
This one comes from Marie Tourniquet. "If Swifties ruled the world, everyone would have a bank holiday on the 13th of December every year." I don't...
What's a bank holiday?
I think it's just when,
it's like a
normal
holiday.
Yeah.
Like Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
It's like an official holiday where the banks are closed, I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
okay.
Like the U.S. Postal Service and stuff like that. I don't like those days because I always seem to get mail around them and then I have to wait. It always happens. But,
pesky
but I would love for December 13th to become a national holiday.
So next one was emailed in by Mariah, who emailed us and said, "You know you're Swiftie when your dad randomly starts humming 'We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together' because you sing it so much."
Next one comes from Swizzle Julie. "You know you're a Swiftie when you only watch a TV show because Taylor is performing."
Guilty.
I've done that. And I take it a step further. I record it, so I don't even have to watch the rest of the TV show. I just fast forward.
Guilty as that too.
All right, and our final one comes from Thomas via email, and he said, "If Swifties rule the world, the global ranking system on a scale from 1 to 10 would be upgraded to on a scale from 1 to 13, where 13, of course, represents the highest level of awesomeness." I'm a fan of that. I think that should be implemented for sure.
So, Maya, on a scale of 1 to 13, how would you rank Taylor Talk as a podcast?
No, I think I'd have to give it a 13. It's just so
unbiased,
great.
Unbiased speaking, of course.
I'm completely unbiased though, so, you know.
Yeah, we're all unbiased. Can you tell?
So, the moment everybody's been waiting for, we've been getting lots and lots of tweets requesting this. As if we wouldn't have done it already. Anyway, but let's talk about the I Knew You Were Trouble music video. Kicking it off with the video.
I am so excited for this conversation.
Me too. I can't even... Oh my gosh, I have so much to say.
Me too. So, Belle, kicking it off with the video itself, did you like it?
I loved it. I gave it like 2 thumbs up and 2 big toes up.
2 big toes up. And that's saying something because Belle hates feet.
I really do hate feet. So this is like serious business right now. Like, I don't even know where to start. Oh my gosh. The first time I watched it, I just sat there for like a few minutes afterwards and just stared at the screen and was just like,
did that just happen?
Wow. I don't know, blown away, I guess. Like, it really provoked a lot of thought in me. And I love, you know, the first scene where she's waking up and she just looks around and has no idea where she is. And I don't know, like, in the speech that she made, it's like, I feel like whether anybody has ever been through that or not, the metaphorical reaction that it provokes in you, a lot of people can relate to either way. It's just being in a situation where you know you got in way over your head.
Well, Belle, you know, I wake up in the desert, like, every morning.
I know that you do that. Your life is just so crazy, Adam. You're just like a party man all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, while his other self is watching Harry Potter and Taylor Swift videos.
My alter ego is waking up in the middle of the desert on weekends.
He astral projects to the desert every day. That's Adam for you. Just in case anybody didn't know about his skills. But seriously, first of all, how many of you guys had that reaction? Were just blown away?
I mean, I was so impressed by how mature the video was and how interesting it was and just sort of grown up and different. I really am happy that she decided to go in a different direction with it just because it's such a different song. And I think it's a video that, because it's a song that has helped to appeal to a lot of people that weren't necessarily in her fan base anymore, I think that it's a video that'll do a similar thing. Like, it'll help reach out to those people who wouldn't necessarily listen to her all the time.
And here's another awesome thing I noticed, too, is in all of Taylor's videos, she's very good at telling the story. I know we've had this discussion before, but I feel like even when she's telling a story, she's still kind of playing, like, an alternate version of herself. Or maybe, like, you know, what her life could have been like if she hadn't gotten into music. But I feel like it's always sort of like a version of her. But the first thing that I thought of in this video was, oh, it's her character from CSI.
Right? The whole, like, motel rundown thing going on. Yeah. Kind of felt like that, too.
I mean, I don't know. I think she's just sort of playing, like, an exaggerated version of what happened to her. Like, it's not different. It's just blown out of proportion for the sake of telling the story.
Yeah, that's true. I just thought, like, her look just totally reminded me of CSI, and that made me want to go back and watch that episode again.
Yeah, her look. How about that wig?
Oh, the wig was awesome.
I love the pink in it, though.
It looks so grungy.
I think the pink should have been more bright, but...
Oh my god, my favorite thing was when people started seeing pictures from the video, and they're like, oh my god, Taylor cut off her hair and dyed it pink. I'm like, are you stupid? Like, really? No, she's wearing a wig. Wow. Like, calm down, world. Take some deep breaths.
So, how do you guys think the video fit the theme of the song?
Absolutely. The song is crazy and fast-paced and changing and, like, just, you know, wild. And the video is exactly that.
I don't know if I agree with that. Not necessarily because of the song not fitting the video, because at the very beginning of the video, they have like this quiet, like, you know, just like music going on. And I felt like that transition from the quiet, subtle music to the like actual song of I Knew Your Trouble was a little bit jarring for me. I don't know if you guys felt like that, but I don't know what they could have done to make that smoother.
I didn't have that like jarring. I did have a jarring reaction to it, but I still thought it fit because it's to me what I thought it represented is when you know wake up and you're in those first like minute of being awake and you're not like you're just like what's going on, where am I, and then all of a sudden all these memories of the crazy night you just had hit you like a freight train.
Okay, so it's just like a sudden everything's like coming a jarring back to you
feeling.
Yeah, it's like you're remembering exactly all of it at once, and it doesn't necessarily like you don't necessarily remember things chronologically. You kind of just remember the bits.
That was my problem with the video when I first saw it is I was trying to find like a narrative arc, like a beginning, middle, and an end. And I didn't understand like why they had fights and then it seemed like they got back together, but then he's kissing this other girl and I didn't understand like.
I mean, I think it could have been that that's sort of the way the relationship was. If you like think about we are never ever getting back together, like talking about like getting together and breaking up and getting together and breaking up. And it's like, I mean, it was not a healthy relationship. And I think that the video portrays that pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It definitely shows it's not very, very healthy.
But something that I came up with to answer my own question, in the monologue, Taylor says, or not Taylor, the character that Taylor's playing, she says, it's like a kaleidoscope of memories. It just all comes back. So I didn't think the video was necessarily like trying to tell a story from beginning, middle to end. It was more like she's just thinking of all these moments that happened and she's not necessarily thinking about them in chronological order. It's just coming back to her. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
So I thought that was cool that they chose to portray the video that way.
Yeah.
Do you know what my only issue is with the video itself? And I think the video is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But one of the things is I just didn't quite picture the song in my head the way they pictured it on or portrayed it on screen. And there's like one particular detail that throws me off. And it's talking about the line in the song itself, flew me to places I've never been and whatever. Like I always picture the male character in that song being one of those classy fake, you know what I'm talking about? Comes in dressed really nice.
I don't think she literally meant fly. But in their head. Like, I think you're thinking that she literally meant flew me to places I've never been, like, on an airplane. Like,
I think it's
that's not what she meant.
Yeah, I thought it was very metaphorical. I took it as metaphorical.
Yeah, it's like emotional places and, like, life places, not, like, airplane places.
I suppose, I guess I just interpreted it literally because I'm thinking in my head, celebrities, they're flying all over the world and doing
whatever. Adam, you do a podcast about Taylor Swift, the queen of metaphors. Like, why are you interpreting it literally?
It's just because he's imagining Taylor Swift writing this song relating to her life. And in Taylor's life, maybe that's what happened to her. But Taylor decided
they went to upstate New York. They didn't fly anywhere.
I don't know.
Yeah, I get what you're both saying. I think that. Personally, I mean, I interpret it, I get what Adam's saying. I just personally,
yeah, the like, song is so I get what Adam's saying, but you're wrong.
I just never you're pictured wrong. The male as being this grungy, tattooed, rave-attending, whatever he was in that video.
Yeah, I was completely opposite. I completely saw it kind of going this direction.
Same here, to be honest.
I think what we have to do in order to understand this video and analyze it and all that is separate, like, Taylor Swift, the person, from, like, the story that's happening in the video.
Well, I think, like, the video itself is just a personification of reality. I mean, you know, yeah, she's, like, that's what, when I was saying earlier about her playing her CSI character, and that's what it made me think of, all of these things that are happening to this person are incredibly intense and out of control and fast-paced. And that might, I mean, I'm not saying that she woke up in the middle of the desert having no idea where she was, but I'm saying that the personification of the emotional whirlwind she was in.
Right, and I think, speaking of Taylor waking up in the desert, I thought that was just very symbolic of how she felt like she was literally, like, left behind in the dust by this relationship. And she woke up alone and she was isolated. And I mean, obviously, actually, okay, maybe not obviously, but I would assume that if one went to a rave and there were drugs involved, I don't think she would have been the only one waking up alone.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. But in the video she was, because that was more symbolic than actual realistic.
Here's another possibility to that too, is, you know, maybe the rave moved and she was already passed out. They just
That's true.
And they just left her there. She's just like,
hello? Anyone there?
Thanks, guys. Looking out for me. But, I mean, that's, like, how I see the whole, like, relationship, though, is, like, you know, this crazy whirlwind convenience thing, but when it comes down, I mean, here's the way that I interpret that. It's, like, yeah, you're having this amazing time, this mind-blowing time, but 2 seconds later, you don't mean anything to this person. They just left you, when they rave move and they just didn't even care. They just like, oh, she's passed out, whatever, I'm leaving. And that's like metaphorically, you know, the way that I interpreted her trying to portray the relationship.
Yeah, I think the way they portrayed the male character and this was really good, because I don't know about you guys, but I really got the sense that he didn't necessarily care about her. He was just hanging out with her because she was there. And at that time, he was like, okay, this is fun. But then when they went to the rave, he saw this other girl and he was like, oh, she's cute, so I'm going to get at that and forget this other girl that I had been dating.
If they were even dating in his mind, or if he was, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she was like, you know, totally falling for him and he's just like, okay, you know? I feel like they were on two very separate pages and she didn't even like... She was so wrapped up that she didn't even think to realize that until she wakes up in the desert and she's just like, oh, that's how it is.
And you could definitely see that when they're in the hotel, when she's sitting in the chair and he's on the bed, how that even though they were together, they were
like, not super
not together.
Yeah, they were very much apart.
You know, the scene that jarred me the most?
I think I know what you're going to say, Belle.
When the two guys are fighting and she tries to like get in the middle and gets pushed away.
Oh yeah.
Like that's intense. And I really commend Taylor for taking it there, because that's not a light place to take it.
No,
it's really not. Actually, Belle, what I thought you were gonna say is they had some couple scenes of Taylor in the bathroom, you know, like,
oh my gosh,
looking at herself in the mirror. And then there was this one shot
that was,
I think it lasted for like 3 seconds, but she moved from the mirror and you could
see him in the reflection. Yeah, I saw that.
That was creepy.
That was.
Yeah, that was creepy.
I don't know what was going on with that, but that was really creepy for that few moments.
One more thing. Am I the only person who thinks that Reeve Carney is absolutely gorgeous?
He's hot.
No, you're not.
I do,
the
but
only
not
person
in this video.
Who thinks that.
I don't like him with the tattoo.
Not this video.
Sorry.
He's gorgeous all the time.
Oh, see, I do.
Especially in this video.
Yeah, I agree with Mayanas.
Well, he's just not my type in this video.
I mean, he's not my type either. That doesn't mean I don't think he's sexy.
You know, Belle, I just don't find myself attracted to Reeve Carney.
That's okay, Adam. You don't have to be attracted to him.
Okay.
Yeah, that might cause some problems for you.
Can I mention one thing? This
was yes,
scene,
Haley, you can.
This scene where he's getting the tattoo on his chest. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that another person has a, it's not the same tattoo, but it has a tattoo in the same location?
Interesting.
Who?
Mr. John Mayer. He has a 77 in that same location.
Haley, enlighten us, please.
I just said John Mayer has a 77 in the same location where the character in the music video got the word love.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's coincidence or just very well played.
Not a lot that Taylor does is coincidence.
Yeah.
She is very meticulous.
I mean, I guess you could argue that it could be coincidence because he got the word love over his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been just more of a metaphorical thing, but, or I don't know, just to represent how they kind of, like, fell into the whole thing way too fast, and it's like, oh, I'm tattooing love on myself, and, you know, but it actually just fell apart so quickly.
Okay, one other thing, and I don't know why I like this few seconds of this clip, but in the very beginning when she's doing the monologue, she touches the light bulb. I just like that.
I really like that too.
I don't know why, I just like it.
It was cool. It was like, she, you know, it's kind of representative of the whole relationship. Like, she knew that this guy was trouble, but she still wanted to go through and touch it. Like, you shouldn't really touch a hot light bulb. And she ended up getting burned.
Oh.
Shouldn't touch a hot light bulb, huh?
Yeah, not a good idea.
I don't know.
This lesson for all of our younger listeners. Do not touch hot light bulbs. We have done our job. Thank you.
I don't know what is up with Taylor and chest tattoos, because someone else who she may or may not be currently dating also has some chest tattoos. So I don't know what is up with that, if she like likes that or something, but it's a fun fact of the day.
Fun fact of the day brought to you from Maya.
Yeah. That person actually has two chest tattoos, not just one. So
But Haley, speaking of the monologues, let's like chat about those monologues. They had the long one at the beginning and the short one at the end. Like, who do you think wrote those? Do you think they were written by Taylor?
Yeah.
I think it was Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah.
In that case, why?
Fleshes out the story. Makes it as interesting. Gives you more, like, background. Sort of, like, gets you inside her head. It's kind of what she does with her songs, but just more.
I was just
more.
Thinking that typically her videos and her songs tell the story fairly well. So why did she need anything additional?
Especially the last monologue, just the really short sentence at the end that, like, really hits you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that sums up, like, the emotions of... It's like a last slap across the face.
I understand what you're saying. It's like the last punch. You know, like the last punchline, the thing that really hits you.
Yeah. And the beginning, I think, was just like, I mean, it just goes in with the waking up and not knowing where you are. You're just like, before all the memories hit you, you're trying to, like, piece together things in your mind. You're like, okay, I'm waking up in the desert. I'm alone. I don't quite remember everything that happened last night, but, like, you still have all these, like, fleeting thoughts and feelings. And then you get hit with, like, the random pieces of memories.
The part that got me was actually in the prologue. It wasn't the closing line. It was the, I think the worst part of it all wasn't losing him. It was losing me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and the final line. I love both of them.
I also love the line, and the crazy thing is, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel that way again. I don't know if I should.
Oh, I was just going to say, I love, I knew his world moved too fast and burned too bright.
Yeah, that's good too.
I have, that to me, I can relate to way more than I should wish I could.
I feel like this whole monologue is like bits of lines that, like, if you mashed it up in the proper way, could be turned into a whole other song.
Yeah, it could.
Like, it's all good so point. Poetic and interesting, and we're all like, oh my god, I relate to it so much. And it's like she wrote us a new song without music.
Adam, do you have a favorite line?
I mean, you guys pretty much said the entire thing. I mean, it's not that long a speech to begin with, but I think the common theme out of the lines that you guys all stated is just uncertainty. Does anyone else see that?
Well, I'm going to say my favorite line since Adam doesn't appear to have one. Mine was, how can the devil be pulling you towards someone who looks so much like an angel when he smiles at you? For some reason, that one just kind of surprised me. But I really liked it.
Oh, I actually have a funny story about that line. So I watched this video for the first time at work, because it came out while I was at work. And the students I was teaching, they heard that line and just looked at me. And one of them was like, that guy doesn't look very much like an angel.
Well, they're teenage boys. They don't understand yet.
I guess I thought it was funny. It made me laugh.
Were they expecting him to have, like, a halo and white robes and wings?
Sure.
Oh, goodness.
I think you need to teach them metaphor.
Yeah. But I completely relate to that line just because I knew of someone who I got so mad at and I've been so angry at and just the way he was treating me. But, like, the second he smiles, it was just, like, done. I'm just like, what? Why was I mad at you?
I know. I just think it's interesting the idea that, like, she's sort of saying that from the beginning she knew that it was quote unquote the devil pulling her towards him. You know? I mean, it goes along with the whole idea of the song, obviously, mm-hmm. but because I like that metaphor of it.
All right, so let's talk a sec about the director and some of his other work. Things like that. And also Reeve Carney, the male lead. So it was directed by Anthony Mandler, who has directed over 12 videos for Rihanna. So they are known for working together. And he's done videos for Justin Bieber, Nicki Minaj, Lana Del Rey, and a bunch of others. So I think there's no denying that he brought a very different image and different feel to this video than anything Taylor's ever done in the past.
For sure. I love the video. I mean, I love the different path it takes. It's very fitting with the whole entire album. It's a new direction for her. It's growing up. It's being daring and portraying things that she would have never portrayed at 16.
Sorry, I just took a moment. I was just thinking about Taylor at 16 and then watching this video in my head and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, think about our song and then.
Yeah. That's exactly
the R song video, and then compare it to this.
Oh, the R song video. That's the song that, like, introduced me to the world of Taylor.
Aww.
And I really didn't like it, too. Funny story.
What?
Yeah. I thought Taylor seemed really mean. I didn't like it at all. I that was, like, the first thing of hers I ever saw, and I really didn't like her. And, like, she seems like that nasty girl in high school who I hate. I don't like her. It took me a little while to get on the bandwagon.
That's interesting.
Yep.
So, there seems to have been a lot of talk on social media and everything about this video mimicking Lana Del Rey's video for the song Ride, which is also directed by Anthony Mandler. So, do you guys see that similarity? I don't know if there really is a similarity, or if people are like, oh, Lana Del Rey did a monologue at the beginning, then an intense video, and Taylor did a monologue in an intense video.
I mean, there's the monologue, there's her sort of being alone in the desert type situation. I mean, then it's also kind of like, it's like this kaleidoscope of memories of, like, her with different guys. I mean, but besides that, I feel like it has a whole different mood. It's, like, set in a different place. It's a lot more sexual, I think. And the song itself is a completely different mood. I don't know. I mean, I feel like visually there are some things that are similar, which is not surprising considering it's the same director. But I think that's kind of where it ends.
Exactly. I agree.
I agreed.
Yeah, I don't think Taylor Swift saw this video and was like, I'm going to copy that. She probably watched it and was like, oh, that's interesting. That's inspiring.
I want him as the director.
Yeah.
And not just her. He did Justin Bieber's As Long As You Love Me Too, which is, again, a similar type of visual. It's got monologue at the beginning and then intense video. It even has a fight scene, just like Taylor's video does. So they don't vary too much. But one of the things I'm curious about that I'm assuming is part of Anthony Mandler's style is Justin Bieber's video and Taylor's video are that really widescreen shot.
Yeah, it gives it sort of like a cinematic feel.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Lana Del Rey's video, Justin Bieber's video, and Taylor's video seem very cinematic and very, you know, it's almost like you're watching a movie.
Yeah, it's like, so it's like a condensed down little movie.
Yeah.
It is, but I just don't understand that whole widescreen thing and what benefit it serves. Because in my mind, like, he's shooting for people to watch this on YouTube. That's pretty much where people watch music videos. I would say well over 90% of music videos are watched on YouTube. So why the widescreen?
I would guess to separate it from other music videos that are on YouTube. To try to make it seem like what his work is, I guess, maybe he's going for something a little bit higher. Because it's, you know, he's, like, shooting for, like, a movie-like feel, and it's not, like, oh, like, a little three-minute video on YouTube. Do you understand what I mean? Am I making sense?
Yeah, I get what you're going with
okay.
that.
Do you know who I feel this director must have been inspired by?
Who?
The Terminator.
What?
It has the same feel! The whole desert thing, and he even used the Terminator glasses in Taylor's video. The sunglasses the guy was wearing.
The circle the ones?
I'm with you.
You've never seen The Terminator?
I have, but it's been forever, so I don't remember.
Don't you remember
it.
Those circle sunglasses that Sarah Connor was wearing in The Terminator? It's just like the ones Reeve Carney was wearing.
Huh. I didn't think about that, but yeah.
Like, that's the first thing that, I'm just saying, that's the first thing that popped in my mind when I saw this video, as well as Lana Del Rey's Ride, when they're out in the desert and stuff. I thought Terminator.
Okay.
Yeah, could be.
You guys said that he shoots it like a movie, right?
Yeah, but we weren't thinking of the Terminator.
Maybe to entice Taylor's character to, you know, go party with him. He's like, come with me if you want to live.
See? Bell knows. So, overall, Bell, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs to the side, thumbs diagonal. What do we think?
As I said before, two thumbs up and two big toes up. And like Diane reminded me, I hate feet. So that is very serious business.
Maya?
I'm going to go two thumbs up on this one.
Diane?
I'm going to go two thumbs up, just because I feel like we had a great discussion about it, and there's so much in this video that it blows my mind.
Haley?
I give this a 13.
What? I'm just giving 1 to 13.
1 to 13.
Haley's the cleverest one of us all.
But two thumbs up.
Haley, well, I give it a 13-13.
Wow.
A double 13.
Oh.
26. Or two thumbs up, whichever. They both work. So, yeah, I mean, we'll have the video embedded on the episode guide. I'd imagine anyone listening to us has already seen it, though. So, if you want to watch it again, please, by all means, watch it again.
It's amazing.
It's awesome. It's amazeballs.
Amazeballs.
So, this week's What Would Taylor Do is a voicemail from Heidi. So, Heidi.
Hi, guys. It's Heidi from England. I've got a What Would Taylor Do for you. And I was just wondering, what would Taylor do if one of her exes, like Joe Jonas, said that he wanted to do a duet with her?
I knew they were trouble.
Well, it depends. I think it depends on which ex asks. Cause
well, only two of them had any musical talent, right? Joe and John.
Yeah.
I feel like she might be cordial enough with Joe at this point to do a collaboration if there was a purpose for it.
I think she's cordial with him.
It just to do it, though.
I think she's cordial with him. I don't know if she's, like, doing a duet together, like, at that level.
Yeah, I think if they see each other, they just were like, hey, how are you? But I don't know if they, like, text each other on the weekends and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't do that.
To be honest, I don't think Joe is nearly a talented enough singer to even do her justice in a duet.
Well, yeah, they have done a duet before, though.
But that was, like, 4 years ago.
Yeah. She didn't go on tour with them. I believe, where was it? It was at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Taylor came on the stage with him, and they sang Should Have Said No.
Yeah. They did, like, a duet on it, and it sounded weird. That is foreshadowing. Haha, that's funny.
It's really not funny, but it is.
I don't know if they would compliment each other because Joe's singing voice is kind of that whiny sound. Like, and I don't mean that to put him down. I mean, that's just kind of his sound. You know what I mean?
Like, it's more drawn out? Is that what you're saying?
It's kind of like, yeah, I'm Joe. Like.
Oh, you need to join the Jonas Brothers.
I sound just like them.
That was perfect.
But you know what I'm talking about, though. He's got that sort of whiny tone to him. It's just that's just his voice,
or that's what he's doing to his voice to sing. But yeah,
and I don't think they would compliment each other well because if you think about like her recent collaborations, like with Ed Sheeran, Ed's got a much nicer voice than Joe does.
Yeah, Ed has a very good voice.
Oh, and speaking of other exes, Taylor and John have done a duet. Right?
They have.
They wrote together.
In Half My Heart?
Yep.
But I don't think they would be doing one now.
No.
That was definitely back before they...
So, I think Taylor would be like, been there, done that. I'm not doing it again.
Yeah, and also they're like not on super good terms, I don't think. No. Especially since he recently got all... Taylor humiliated me with Dear John. I'm like, stop whining.
Well, you humiliated yourself.
Like, you're a 30-year-old man.
Taylor says
like,
it's presumptuous of him to think that song's about him.
Oh, come on. That's a weird song. It's called Dear John.
Was it really?
It's a common name.
And how many people did she date named John? Oh, right. One.
It's just a coincidence. It means nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Really. Okay, Taylor. Really. It's just a coincidence.
I just think his reaction was ridiculous. I'm like, seriously? You are a grown man, and like, you are acting like a 13-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Oh, she wrote a song about me, mommy.
Despite everything, though, like, I don't care how horrible he acts. I don't care what he did to Taylor. I don't care. That man is an amazing musician.
Yes.
And I will never stop listening
to his
music.
John Mayer the man and John Mayer the singer. I love John Mayer the singer.
So good.
Yeah.
What would Taylor do if Zac Efron wanted to do a duet with her?
They're not exes,
but what if?
They should totally turn the song they sing on Ellen
yes, into an actual
single.
Yeah,
they should record that. They should record the their version of Pumped Up Kicks.
To be 100% honest, I don't think she'd do it because he doesn't have an established music career and no one cares.
But he's Zac Efron.
She could do it for fun or for like a charity thing.
Yeah, a charity thing.
Well, people do that. They like release songs for. I mean, I don't know if people do that. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
You should be a PR person. That's a great idea.
I would buy it because it's Zac Efron.
Every single time I come on his show.
Adam's really weird.
It's like
really
the
weird
theme song of Taylor Talk.
Right. It's
I really think that's weird, the theme song of Belle's Life.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
All right. So thanks for leaving that voicemail for us, Heidi. Actually, speaking of voicemails, I just want to put a disclaimer on our voicemail system. If you leave us a voicemail, we hear it. Taylor does not. We don't know Taylor Swift. She has nothing to do with this show. I just only point that out because we got a voicemail recently, someone asking to speak with Taylor. And it's not the first one. And this one just reminded me to say something about that. So I just wanted to say that for you guys. But do leave us voicemails for the mini segments. We love hearing from you. So
yeah, Adam and I haven't even met Taylor yet.
Yeah, no. One day.
Well, Adam had a Taylor hug, but half counts.
Yeah, and I don't even have that.
Oh, well, you have 4 tickets now, don't you, Haley?
I do. Going to the Denver show. I'm excited.
It could happen.
If anyone's there, let me know, because I would love to meet you guys.
Do you know what else is actually really neat that I discovered about the voicemail system? Is, as if we didn't have enough ways for people to submit mini segments, I discovered one more. The Taylor Talk phone line for US and Canada, the one that's 240-31-SWIFT, you can actually text that number.
Ooh.
You can?
Yeah, so we can actually receive mini segment submissions by text message now.
I want to text cool, the show. Mate.
So yeah, if anyone has a What Would Taylor Do, or If Swifties Ruled the World, or What Are Swifties Listening To, any of those, you can text it to area code 240-31-SWIFT. I thought that was really cool.
You know what? I'm going to send one right now.
Yeah.
While we're recording, actually. Right now.
Oh, wait, I'm going to do it too.
Again? Do you want to repeat it for everyone at home?
240-31-SWIFT.
31 is 13 backwards.
Good observation, Haley. Why do you think we 31... got that number?
Because we couldn't get 13.
What's the numbers right. for Swift?
Do you know what the numbers are for Swift?
7, 9, 4, 3, 8. Thank you.
Okay.
So the actual number in number form is area code 240-317-9438. Moment of silence while every single person texts.
I'm texting right now.
Me too.
Now that we've gone off on a crazy tangent about the Taylor Talk hotline phone number text messaging service, let's do our last mini segment of the episode. What are Swifties listening to? And this one was dedicated to Maya, so I'd love to hand it over to Maya for this one.
All right, well, Emily, via email, said that Swifties are listening to Never Know by Elizabeth Hewitt. And in case you don't know, Liz used to be Taylor's backup singer, and she is wonderful, and she's doing her own thing now. And she has a single out called Never Know, so you should go to her website, elizabethhewitt.com, and you can sign up for her mailing list, and then you get the song for free. So definitely go do that because it's beautiful.
It's an amazing song.
It's awesome. She is amazing.
It gets stuck in your head.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So do
that. She has a gorgeous voice. I love it.
Excellent.
Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks, Maya. So I guess that concludes another episode of Taylor Talk. Don't forget, get those text messages in now that you can do that.
Yay!
So, for episode 43, this has been Adam,
Belle,
Maya,
Diane,
and Haley.
Saying have a great day, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Virtual hand hearts.
Hand hearts.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.